Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 29th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It comes and it goes, but mostly going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. And John Martellaro, how are you today?
It comes and it goes, too.
I'm so glad. I'm glad that both of the. No, I have to stop. I was about to just totally mess up the show with what I was going to say. Anyhow.
G-rated.
Yeah, I'm glad you're both here. And as long as you're here, I think it's kind of a good day for us to do a little bit of forward looking. And by that, I mean, John, you have some ideas about what you would like to see at Apple's next media announcement. And I'm going to give people a little backstory to go along with this. So there's a report out that the new MacBook Pro is going to get released in the second half of October. And to go along with that, our insider sources have passed on that that we may get an announcement about that on October 11th. So we're just going to roll with that and say that on October 11th, we're going to have an Apple announcement. And John, you have some ideas about what you think would be cool for Apple to announce, which I get is not the same thing as what you expect Apple to actually announce.
Right, right. These are not predictions. These are John's wish list. I like to fantasize. I'm a dreamer from time to time. And in the best of all possible worlds for me, I'd like to see Apple do some interesting things. I'd like to see them come out with a next generation Mac Pro with ARM processors, like a grid of 16 or 32 ARM processors that would give us 64 or 128 cores and a Rosetta-like environment. See, on the notebook computers, you're running on battery, so you want to have it be as efficient as possible. So if ever Apple is going to introduce ARM chips, they want to probably do it on desktops where they have access to AC power and can put a lot of cores in there and dedicate them to a Rosetta interpretation. So the x86 binaries of your Intel applications can be converted to ARM code and run. And that would be kind of cool because then you could have a little supercomputer. I mean, if the iPhone with a 1A10 can do 5 teraflops, you could easily get 50 to 100 teraflops into one of these next generation Mac Pros. And that would be an avenue with plenty of power and plenty of cores and plenty of room and plenty of expandability to go with a really super computer on the desktop and take advantage of the efficiencies of the A10. So that's one thing I'd fantasize about.
So do you want to give your whole list or can we talk about
each one of these? Jump in there.
I wasn't sure if you needed to just roll.
No, go ahead.
So you're not only talking about a new Mac Pro, which may never exist, right? I mean, we should acknowledge that. And this is a wish list, so that's fine.
Sure.
But you're also suggesting that Apple put ARM processors in a Mac, which, correct me if I'm wrong, we have not seen yet. I don't want to say they haven't done it yet, because I'm sure they have.
Well, you know, Apple made the transition from Motorola 68K to PowerPC, and then they made the transition from PowerPC to Intel.
Yeah.
And Apple has more experience in changing architectures than any company on the planet. So
I don't disagree. I just wanted to my own sanity check and for the benefit of our listeners, I just wanted to acknowledge that you're suggesting two very radical things. Mm-hmm. But one of them, and I think it's the latter, the processor change, is probably less radical than the
Well, that's the right place to do it, I think.
It is. Yeah. Oh, totally.
Power and access to lots of cores to do the conversions, to do the Rosetta-like translation, and really come out with a next-generation machine. Now, if you had to ask me what my actual prediction would be,
That's different.
I'm kind of leaning towards Apple killing the Mac Pro altogether. So that's why this is my wish list.
Yeah. Can I add I was going to wait till you got to the end of your wish list, but can I
add away
one thing that I would like to add to the I You say you think Apple's going to kill the Mac Pro, and I don't disagree with you. There's one thing I wish Apple would kill, but I don't think they will, and that's the entire AirPort line of routers and things. The Apple is not a router company. They continue to prove that time and again. And the problem is, and understandably, people go to the store and they say, hey, I want to get an Apple iPhone and an Apple iMac and an Apple MacBook Pro. And so while I'm at it, I should get an Apple AirPort Express or an AirPort Extreme or a Time Capsule. And they're awful, awful routers. To be building a router in today's day and age with plenty of CPU, which Apple does, that doesn't have QoS, quality of service controls, built in to manage and control your bandwidth is insane to me. It, and especially when Apple's the one building the products like iCloud Photo Library, right, or even Photo Stream for years, that just occasionally and without any user interaction or even intervention to stop it, suddenly you're just going to blast up, you know, photos for a little while and soak up your upstream. Apple's routers respond horribly to that. They don't have any QoS, so they totally fall apart and everything slows down on your network, or it appears to slow down, even though it doesn't really. And a router, you know, that costs half of what Apple charges, that has even some very rudimentary QoS in it, totally deals with that problem, and you don't even notice that your entire upstream is being used.
I have to disagree with you a little bit. When people go into the Apple store, they want a device where they can come home, plug it in, turn it on, and be on the network. And they're allergic to the idea of going to Best Buy and saying, well, should I buy a Netgear or should I buy this or that, and get it home and find out there's all sorts of geeky questions and problems, and it's an unfamiliar device from an unfamiliar manufacturer, and they don't know how to exploit it, and they're not sure it's going to work on their system. But it's got that, if it's got that Apple label on it, they know that it's going to be simple. It may not be the most advanced technically, but they can plug it in and be on the air. And I think that's what people are looking for.
But then they complain to me because we answer questions at Mac Geek Gab all the time about how slow their networks are.
Those are the squeaky wheel guys who are, you know, technical like us and go into the details. And
see that. And that's the thing, is there's this misconception, but it exists for good reason, because 5 years ago it was totally true. But there's this misconception that non-Apple routers are geeky and difficult to understand and all of that. And certainly in the last 12 months and arguably in the last 24 months, that has changed dramatically. There are companies like Netgear, which you mentioned, that's building router user interfaces that are totally simple. You can get advanced if you want, but you don't have to, right? They're doing a really good job making that stuff easy. And then you add to the discussion things like Eero or Ubiquiti's Amplify or the brand new one from Netgear, Orbi, that are doing mesh networking without the user even having to think about it. Eero, by far, is a simpler user interface than what you get with AirPort from Apple, and it's way more full-featured.
I'm looking forward to our overview article, Dave, on product recommendations.
Yeah.
Now, Apple can address a lot of this with a software update to the AirPort
Absolutely.
Extreme.
That's correct. That's right.
Yeah, so it's not like they would even have to come up with new hardware.
Nope. No, their hardware is great. That's the most frustrating part, is they're just not taking advantage of it. Yep. So anyway, that's my wish list.
Boxes number 1 and 2 checked.
That's right.
Yeah. The next thing I'd like to see Apple do in my wish list is I'd like to see them move the MacBook Air to the bottom of the product line, leave it non-Retina, leave the USB-A ports on there and the ports the way they are, add one USB-C port, and reduce the price dramatically thanks to economies of scales and the long time they have been building it in the engineering refinement and economies of scale that they have built up so far with the MacBook Air, and just sell it for $555 or so.
So it'd be a Chromebook competitor.
Yes. Yes, bottom of the line. And then take the MacBook and the MacBook Pros to, you know, the middle and the top of the line with the most exotic and recent technologies, Thunderbolt 3 and so on, like we expect to see. And by the way, the reason I think Apple's going to stay with Skylake is there were, Apple would have done the MacBook Pros earlier in the year if they didn't have some other engineering goodies to work out. And I have a suspicion, just like the iPhone 7, that Apple's cooked up some really interesting, fun things in the next MacBook Pro, in addition to the OLED function key strip, touch sensitive. Mm-hmm. And as a result, Apple got ahead or behind the power curve on the Intel release cycle in their own engineering development before they could release it, and so that's why we're Apple's late with Skylake processors on the MacBook Pros. So they're kind of caught in the middle. It's a, Skylake's mature, Kaby Lake is it'll maybe too early, as you said in your article this morning. So that's why I think there's a disconnect between Apple's engineering developments of a new, cool, next generation MacBook Pro and the state of the Intel processor maturity inside. So I still expect to see the Skylake processor. That's minimum required to support Thunderbolt 3. It's fast. As you said in your article, Kaby Lake gives you incremental refinements. And so that's why I think, and that's pretty well understood what that MacBook Pro is going to be like, thanks to rumors and supply chain leaks and stuff. So that's not really on my wish list. But another thing on my wish list is that Apple duplicates what Roku has just done and refreshed their Apple TV and announced for Christmas a new Apple TV fifth generation with 4K at 60 hertz and HDR10 support and return to optical audio out and sell it for a competitive price and be backwards compatible with all the, you know, the previous fourth generation. And so, you know, we're getting around to the point where we've got 4K everywhere. We've got some really nice 4K TVs. We've got 4K Amazon Fire. We've got 4K Roku box. We've got 4K Blu-ray players. DirecTV is pretty being fairly aggressive about 4K on their DVRs. Mm-hmm. Xfinity is a little further behind. Amazon is streaming in 4K. Netflix is streaming in 4K. DirecTV's got a channel, and there's on-demand 4K. So, you know, the whole world is 4K. If Apple doesn't announce a 4K Apple TV for Christmas, and I'd like it to look a little better than a black brick too, by the way, I'm going to be very disappointed in Apple. I think they just have to do that.
John, I will give you 4K. I think that it's time for Apple to do that. And I'm assuming they didn't with the fourth generation because they still had some questions about where 4K was headed. But that
right.
seems
and
to be
trying to bundle it with a streaming service that a subscription service. They were waiting and waiting all through 2015 to get this subscription TV service nailed down. And then they were going to announce the subscription TV service on the new fourth gen Apple TV, and they were hoping to do that in the summer, I think. But then when they realized the subscription service wasn't going to work and it fell through, then in October 15, they said, well, okay, we'll just release it with some fanfare and be done with it. It was probably a year-old technology at that point.
And, so regardless, now it looks like it's time for Apple to go ahead and get on the 4K sure. bandwagon.
Sure.
But
I don't think they will. Not this year.
Really?
No, I don't disagree with you, but I think it's too soon for them to ask people to buy another Apple TV.
Well, no, I thought about that the other day in an article I was writing. I'm saying, we want our products to be updated every year, and we whine when Apple doesn't update its iMacs and its MacBook Pros every 12 months. So here, Apple's got an opportunity to refresh the Apple TV after 12 months. It's not a $2,000 iMac,
right.
It's $129
right.
Apple TV. It's almost like pocket change, you know, six trips to Starbucks and you paid for your Apple TV. So
I'm suddenly really depressed.
Depending yeah. on how much you spend at Starbucks. So, you know,
you're right, though.
Refresh for $129 box doesn't seem to me abusive.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I do want to rewind though to your comments about the MacBooks, because you went right into the Apple TV, and so I didn't get to sure. say anything there. Yeah, I think it's interesting that you're talking about having the Air and the regular Mac, the MacBook Air and the MacBook essentially swap positions in the line, right? In terms of their price points.
That's my fantasy anyway.
Yeah, I agree that needs to be cleaned up. It's problematic right now because they kind of need both, right? The MacBook is woefully underpowered for what a lot of people need to do, I feel like, and the MacBook Air is not quite as bad. But what we really need out of Apple, or maybe this is wish list, so what I would really like to see out of Apple is a 13-inch machine. Really, I'd like it to be 11, but they're not going to do it. So a 13-inch machine that has some real horsepower behind it, because the... You know, you can't get a quad core right now without going 15-inch.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
I've written about that, too. Yes.
And it drives me crazy. It's like, well, you know, what if I don't
me too.
I don't need a 15-inch machine, but I also don't like... I mean, here's the thing. My current MacBook Air... Well, not my current. The MacBook Air that I have is 5 years old, right? It's from 2011. It is the same processor speed or output, the same horsepower as the current MacBook, and it takes my machine kind of forever to get launched and started and all of that stuff, and I've got an SSD in there and, you know, all of that as it, which is what it came with, and maybe I do need to wipe it and kind of start fresh with it to clean up some stuff, but it's not going to make it that much faster when I do that.
And you know what I think it is, Dave?
What's that?
I have an engineering hunch.
Yeah,
a quad core processor, the ability to cool the processors without fans is a function of the surface area of the aluminum. And my gut hunch is that if you put a quad core processor into a 13-inch frame, there isn't enough surface area in the aluminum to cool it.
That's
interesting idea.
Yeah, that's a reasonable theory. Yeah, because I think, and years ago, when I guess we got to Yosemite, I really felt like Apple had stopped worrying about designing their operating systems to be efficient on spindle drives, right? It was all about SSDs, and suddenly these people that were running just fine prior to that on a spindle drive couldn't anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And it may have even been Mavericks, now that I'm thinking about it, right? I mean, we might rewind one year prior. And that has turned out to be largely true. I mean, Apple hasn't said it, but it certainly came to pass this way. I'm feeling the same thing about dual core versus quad core now. I feel like Apple's engineered their OSs where the OS basically needs, certainly at crunch times like boot time and all of that, it needs two cores for itself, and anything else that you might want to run needs something in addition to that. And I realize that sounds a little crazy to state when most of Apple's laptop lineup is still just dual core. But I really feel like, you know, the OS is geared for quad core or more, because that's where it runs really, really well. And I've got, you know, I've got machines at the house, right, that are, I've got, you know, 2007 Core 2 Duo machines, and they ran really well up until El Capitan. Like, they would boot fine. I wouldn't feel them being sluggish. Of course, I upgraded them all to SSDs. But as soon as we moved to El Capitan, it was like, oh, this is now really slow. And I'm not doing anything different with the machine. So it's the underlying architecture of the OS. And I really feel like, you know, the two more cores is the difference maker there. And I feel like Apple's just not engineering for slower cores or for less cores, even if they're... And I've noticed this on MacBooks, too, current MacBooks. It's the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, that's a little sluggish, you know. And it doesn't have to be. It didn't used to be. So...
Yeah,
I feel like they're going to find a way to go quad core on more of their laptop line because of this.
I hope so.
I hope so,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
All right. We are pretty much out of time. But before we go, John, you said something that's kind of stuck in my craw, which is you called the Apple TV a black brick. and you think Apple needs to redesign it, is the impression that I'm getting. You don't think it's a good looking device. I think it's perfect looking for what it is supposed to be. I love that it's small, that it's black, it's unobtrusive. I don't notice it when it's sitting there with the rest of my home entertainment gear. It just disappears and does its job. And I think the black slab actually looks kind of nice, too.
I never really have been a big fan of the black slab. That's where we disagree. I've been looking at the Roku devices that have been announced in the previous generations, and they're all very warm and purple and plastic and round and nicely designed and good looking. And I think Roku's just has a different sense of design aesthetics that appeal to me. And that's just what's cool. I want to take 10 more seconds to put another wish list in there. I've had a MacBook for 18 months, and I love that butterfly keyboard. And I've been fantasizing about a standalone butterfly keyboard for my Mac for 18 months, and it's not happening.
Yeah. Well, my guess is Apple's not going to release it just to spite you because you don't like how the Apple TV looks.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, I hope they don't change the Apple TV design. I like it. And it's my show, so I get to have the last word on that because we are out of time. So, Dave, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And, John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure also.
Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.